What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
State your name for the record.
Maya Kowalski.
And were you here in the courtroom, Maya, when some clips were played from your depositions?
I wasn't in the physical courtroom, but I did hear them, yes.
You did see them. And how many times were you deposed?
I believe 5.
What time? And the... Did those snippets show the overall view of what your life is like?
Absolutely not.
Well, the jury needs to know. So tell them what's going on.
With my health.
With what?
With my health.
Yes.
Yes. For the past couple of years, I haven't been pain-free. That's the reality for most CRPS patients. I go through periods of waxing and waning, so there'll be some periods of time where I'm doing generally better, and then other times where it's pretty severe. Fortunately enough, I haven't been nearly as bad as I was in 2015. However, that doesn't mean I don't suffer.
And I gather you don't pose for many pictures or have many pictures taken of you when you are having one of your relapses?
No, I don't really like to take pictures when I'm in pain.
And did you have a relapse then in November of 2020?
Yes, I did.
And did that put you in the hospital?
Sustained on that.
And so, if we could, I'd like to go through a couple of questions I think the jury has. Were you moved from your room to a surveillance room or left in your room to be surveyed?
Your Honor, this was also covered.
Yeah, this is overruled. You can answer that.
So I was first put into the emergency room. From the emergency room, I was moved to the PICU. Now, for a couple of days when I was in the PICU, there was no surveillance camera. However, then there was, but only for the 48 hours. But that wasn't really accurate because I was in the PICU for longer, and there's things that happened in there that were not on camera.
Then I'd like to clear up some questions about your dress during the photographs, if you're up for it. Can we bring up 2604-002? All right. Is that a picture of you?
Yes.
And what do you have on?
In this picture, I'm wearing blue shorts, and not pictured, I was wearing a pink shirt before it was taken off.
Okay. And then let's look at the next photo, which is 018. And what is that?
This is the bra I had underneath my pink shirt.
And so, well, let's look at 004. I'm going to ask you if that was the t-shirt.
Yes, that is the pink shirt I was referencing.
And what do you wear that for?
These are my pajamas, so it's something I would have put on the night before, woken up in, and then got changed into a different outfit. In this case, I was changing into my court outfit.
And just so the jury is aware then, let's pull up 022. And is that, are those your feet during this?
Yes.
Is that your dystonia?
Yes.
Then let's turn to 2604-006. All right, now, you're in a different outfit here.
Yes.
What are you in?
I'm in a new bra. This is a white bra. And then I was in pink shorts that I wore underneath the dress that I would be putting on for court.
All right. So how did you get from your pajamas into this?
The nurse that was assisting Kathy Beatty in the photography session, she took off my clothes in front of Kathy Beatty, not in the absence of Kathy Beatty. She was most certainly there. She never left the room during this process. But the nurse was the one who assisted with putting the shorts on, removing the Shopkins bra, and putting this white bra on.
And how did you react to that?
It was one of the worst experiences ever. I mean, I'm a very private person, which has been brought up multiple times throughout this trial. And to be held against your will, being forced to take off your clothes in front of these strangers, essentially, it's extremely uncomfortable. I don't think I can convey to you how traumatic that was.
Now, there's some question about who was in the room. If you look at one's up there, 006, there appears to be two hands you're holding, and it looks like a person of color there, and both of them, or...
This was an issue on
that. Overruled.
This is the nurse that was helping Kathy Beatty.
Okay. Was there, let's go back then and compare to the photograph with you having your shirt pulled down. 2604-004. Now there's one, is that your hand there?
So the two hands closest to the left are my hands, but then there's a hand on the far right of the picture, which is not my hand.
Okay. And when you, so who was that? Was that the nurse person?
Well, looking at the hands, it does not appear to be the nurse's. To my recollection, this would have been Kathy Beatty, because there's no third person in the room.
You remember there were no third person in the room?
I was there, I don't remember a third person.
Well, all right. When you first came in, what did Kathy Beatty do in terms of touching you?
Well, when Kathy Beatty first came in, she came in alone to explain that if I wanted to go and see my mom, and if I wanted to go and see her at court, that the photos would have to be taken.
All right, and so... And this goes to the three.
This is appropriate rebuttal overruled.
And so, she did touch you during that process of the photos coming up.
It appears so, yes. Even though she has said that it's not her hand, it most certainly isn't the nurse's, and there wasn't a third person, so it has to be her hand.
All right, so, is it because it's an old, the person looks older?
Correct.
But even before this, Kathy B. Assisted in disrobing you the first time?
Yes.
Now, about having two sets of photographs, let's show you 005. And prior to this, have I shown you these photographs to see if we can figure this out?
Yes.
All right. Now that's you. Is that one of the lesions there?
On my forehead, yes.
All right. To the best of your knowledge, when was this taken in relationship to the other photographs?
This photo, to my best recollection, was after the court hearing. So this is the photo that they're talking about with the second disrobing, but this was not a disrobing. It was just a picture of me in the wheelchair. I would have remembered a second time going through the process of disrobing. The first photos that we saw were from the same disrobing session. This is apparently the second session, but I wasn't stripped.
Do you have any real memory of this?
I don't have much memory of this, but I know that there was a photo taken. Again, I just didn't attach significance to it because I wasn't disrobed.
And whether you were stripped or not the second time.
Correct.
So it's affecting you. All right. And in this photograph, although it appears to speak for itself, does this, what are you feeling at that moment?
You could tell I'm not happy. I'm looking down. I'm not smiling. I look uncomfortable, as I was.
Now, when you first arrived over at Johns Hopkins, or within the first week, did there come a time that you were interviewed by a psychologist, Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
In his report, he has a number of statements attributable to you. Have you read that report then?
No, I have not.
Have you been told those statements that came from the report?
Yes.
Did you make those statements?
No, I did not.
And were those, how did that come about then, that there were these specific statements?
I remember this interview with Dr. Lewis very well because I was crying, and by the end of it, I left crying even harder. He would suggest things for me to say, and then he would proceed to write down what he had just stated, even though I did not agree to the statements.
And was that true of all of those statements where you were supposedly describing your life?
Yes.
You did not tell him those things?
Correct. I would not say things like that.
Okay. There has been some testimony about you using cursive language in the days there. Were you on steroids at the time that you came in?
Yes, I was on steroids.
And how much do you really remember of that first 36, 40 hours?
I don't remember it all too well, if I'm being completely honest.
Okay. And then was there a point where they had you, or that they put a tube through your nose?
Yes.
And so how did that affect you, them trying to put that thing down here?
So it's been brought to my attention that, people have said that Kathy Beatty was the one who explained the situation of my dad having to leave. That's not true. My dad was the one at my bedside. I woke up and he was crying. I've never seen my dad cry in my entire life, so I knew something bad was going on. That's when he told me that he had to leave. Again, at the time, I had a tube down my nose, and it has been freshly placed, so that went through my throat. I was crying. I could barely get out a couple of words because of how bad my throat was hurting. So there's no way I would have been able to yell at the medical staff, cursing at them and calling them profanity names.
Do you ever use cursive language to your knowledge?
At that time, I did not.
during the times when you were allowed to talk to your mom, tell the jury whether Miss Beatty was there or left the rooms at any point.
Miss Beatty was always there. She made certain she was the one holding the phone. She made certain she was right next to me on the bed. She had to be there.
And do you remember a single call where, any call, where Miss Beatty just left a, the life, children's life?
There was...
contractor, or was Miss Beatty on them regardless?
No, there was no other people assigned to monitor the phone calls with me there in person. It was always Kathy.
So when you were talking and there were other people monitoring, they were either calling in or somehow joining to the call?
Correct.
So was it during these episodes where Ms. Beatty would make facial gestures or comments that were upsetting?
During the unrecorded phone calls, that is when she started to make comments, and again, the facial expressions, of, as you have mentioned.
Now, the jury has been read an order about your visitation rights and so forth. I just want to tell you, in the last 2 weeks or so, after December 27th, before your mom passed, were you allowed any calls daily? It's a daily video calls?
No. I didn't even know I had that privilege. It was not told to me.
Your witness.
Mrs. Sheriff?
Yeah, very briefly.
Hello.
Just so I understand your testimony, you came back from court that evening around 6:30 or 7 p.m.?
I don't know the exact time that I came back, but I know that that photo was after court.
Court ran somewhat later in the evening. Would it sound about right that it was around 6 or 7 at night?
Possibly, yes.
Okay. What, Mr. Reyes, what? And this is the photo that you contend was taken in the evening when you came back?
I know it was a photo of me in a wheelchair. Am I positively certain that this is the one? No, but I know that it was a photo of me in a wheelchair. It was no disrobing the second time around.
Okay. At some point in the evening on January 6th?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Anderson, nothing further? Members of the jury, do any of you have questions?
Kowalski, there's a couple of questions. Do you know what happened to the photo after court, and did they take a second set of photos, and did they take clothes off?
So that's why in my previous testimony I said that there was no second set, because the second set would have involved disrobing, but now I know that the second set was just a single photograph of me in the wheelchair and no clothes were removed.
And Mr. Reyes, please pull this up, the 2604-006 photo. Is this the, quote, before, end quote, you went to court?
Yes.
The 2604-004 photo. Is this in the same photo session before court or after court, or when was this taken?
This was the same as the before. So there is two different outfits, but that is because I was changing from my pajamas to my court clothes. But it was all before court.
And Mr. Reyes, if you pull up that last photo, which is 2604-005, the one where you're sitting in the wheelchair, is this an after court photo?
Yes.
Mr. Anderson, any follow-ups?
I don't think so, Judge.
No, thank you, Your Honor.
Anything further from the jury? Okay, Ms. Kowalski, you can go ahead and have a seat with your attorneys. Members of the jury, we're going to take an afternoon break. It'll probably be 10 to 15 minutes. Please do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information.
All rise. Jurors exiting.
Okay, the jury's out of our presence. Plaintiffs have consumed 1 hour, 10 minutes in their rebuttal time. Why don't we take a couple of minutes and the parties can readdress the policy issue and then also anything further on the joint commission matter. How much time do you want me to give you? 5 minutes, 10 minutes? 10 minutes it will be.
All rise. Court is in recess.
Ms. Kowalski wants to explain the homecoming pictures.
Take 2 minutes.
Before we get to that, let's talk about the policies and the Joint Commission issue, if you have any further updates.
Yes, Your Honor. On the last remaining policy they were looking for, my client triple-checked. The older policy was put into an archive system that no longer exists or that they have access to, so I have no more policies to produce. On the joint commissions, there was a joint commission triannual survey done in, I believe, August 2018 that the hospital passed. The IJ, that they were talking about was related to the Heart Institute that was separate and apart from the triennial survey.
What do the plaintiffs want to do? Because, look, here's the policy. Does it really matter at this point? And I guess the bigger question is, are you going to press the joint commission, or are we?
So, speaking to the policy first, as long as we can get a stipulation that annual performance reviews were required in the hospital policy, we don't need to see the policy. Alternatively, we adopt the 2018 policy, put that in evidence, to solidify that annual reviews are required of their employees.
We disagree. We would have to call a witness. I mean, there's an email that we can move into evidence if they need it. It says specifically, and I can try to put up on the screen, from the director of HR hospital-wide, that for the review period of July 1 to December 31st, they were deferring evaluations. I think this is pretty clear.
Is this part of the deposition that you stopped?
No.
Well, didn't she move for a protective order during the deposition?
Not on this issue whatsoever.
Okay. It was terminated when we tried to ask questions about the policies, so.
Judge, they're going to try to imply that we didn't do something that we couldn't do because of the changeover. That was fully covered in the deposition.
Again, a central problem I've always had in this case is one side says the light's red, the other side says the light's green.
We have the transcript, Judge, of the deposition.
Sure. But let's put up the termination of it.
What issue, I guess the defense would ask, what issue is the are the plaintiffs trying to show that this specific policy would cover? Into what allegation?
Well,
I mean, do they want us to just stipulate? They have all of Kathy Beattie's policies.
There is a period of time that, of course, impacts the exact same period of time of Ms. Kowalski's hospital stay that the hospital has an explanation for it and the plaintiff is challenging the explanation. Whether the explanation is correct or not is not really, for me, it's a question of fact for the jury. So, at the end of the day, though, out of all the issues in the case, is that this issue big enough for us to not rest today? And I really think we probably should be talking about the Joint Commission issue, because if the Joint Commission issue is going to keep the evidence open, that might inform what we're going to do on the policy issue.
So
that's why I kind of want to deal with the Joint Commission issue.
We would demand, request the Joint Commission triennial survey that was just referenced and the self-report that was referenced earlier and any other associated Joint Commission or federal agency findings during that time, because both were referenced in Mr. Anderson's testimony, Mr. Witness Anderson's testimony. And we can set... I don't know if we need the deposition, but we need the documents.
And Judge, if they were left with the idea and the expert's testimony that this hospital was well run and they had been approved, there was a governmental and an industry approval process, and they passed with flying colors. Now, if that was not true, then this is a very serious matter. So. We've had difficulty throughout this case getting documents from the defense, and we would really like to see all of those.
Well, look, if it turns out that this is only involving the whatever the heart department is called, whatever we're calling it, that's not relevant to this case. If the incident or incidents that cause the finding of imminent jeopardy, and I'm assuming that imminent jeopardy means that loss of accreditation and loss of ability to receive federal funds. If that isn't the specific time period or soon after the specific time period of Ms. Kowalski's, it probably is not relevant. If, however, either of those two is true, that it is more systemic than just the heart department and the time period overlaps or is very soon after Ms. Kowalski's stay, then the plaintiffs are going to be allowed to investigate and present this information to the jury. So I just, from a factual standpoint, that's why I need to rely on the lawyers, and I can't seem to get a definitive answer.
If we could get those reports... and we knew they were the right reports, this whole thing could be over. I don't understand why there isn't a phone call with an operation this big, and it's emailed over, and we print it out, and we look at it, and we go, fine, this is neonatal cardiologist. It's, judge says it's not relevant, not relevant. If it says what we think it says, though, it's a very serious matter. Because there was a duty to retract that representation if counsel knew that that was not true in the actual reports.
Judge, have more information, but I don't have documents, and I'm not going to be able to wave a wand over this and get them now within an hour or so. May I respectfully suggest that we be given overnight to produce the documents that Mr. Anderson suggests that he wants? We believe that they will show that the triennial review that we did in fact have after this event was passed and did so handily. We also believe the documents will show that there was a self-report of the Hart Institute issues to CMS, JACO, and the state shortly before January of 2019, and that resulted in the IJ that was then lifted approximately a month and a half later. That is what we believe the documents will show. But I've got to get the documents, and I can't, unfortunately, I just can't do it on 10-minute breaks. And I, not that I don't appreciate being accorded them, it's just that it ain't that quick. So what I would suggest that we try to do, given the hour, I will try to get everything I can in the next hour, half hour, whatever I need to do. And if the documents aren't enough for the court and or counsel, then I'll do my darndest and I'll find out what we can do to produce someone who can explain and provide a timeline and try to put this whole thing in some kind of context so that we can move on and get this case done. That's what I would suggest.
Well, and I appreciate the not being able to wave them on and get the documents. What I'm hearing, though, is we can't finish the evidence today. That's what I'm hearing.
If you'll give me some time to run out and work the phone, I may be able to do better. Here's what my problem is, Judge. I think I can get some of the documents that are at issue here within the next 15 to 30 minutes, maybe a little bit more, but in that ballpark. I despair, however, of the idea that those are going to satisfy counsel. Okay? I mean, we're not talking about, you know, one page here, one page there. We're talking about some fairly beefy documents. So I don't want to tell the court that I can go out and wave a wand and get these things and then bring them back in and have, you know, more backbiting about what they say or don't say. So what I'd like to do is try, and I'll do the best I can to produce everything I can as quickly as I can.
Well, I've got a jury waiting. It's 4:05. I've got directed verdict motions that have to be made, and if we're now postponing directed verdict motions to Monday, that impacts our jury instructions when this everything is now waiting on these two issues. And so these two issues, here is what: if we can't resolve it today, this would be a proposal that I would give out, that the plaintiffs by tomorrow morning turn over the documents relative to, when I say this issue, the Joint Commission, CMS, the defendants. I apologize. That the Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital by tomorrow morning turn over all documents relative to leading up to the imminent, what was the buzzwords, the imminent?
Immediate
jeopardy.
Got it.
That the All Children's Hospital, if requested by the plaintiffs, will sit for a deposition on Friday on that issue, as well as the policy issue relative to HR. And so that you can have sworn testimony on Friday, that way the parties can get a transcript and give it to whomever you need to give the transcript to, and that we walk in here on Monday morning and finish the evidence. Now, I would also suggest today that we do the DV motions, and we just all agree that we can do the DV motions, and if I have to change a ruling based on the small issue relative to the IG slash policy, we can deal with that, but we still proceed with DV motions, and everyone agrees for time purposes, we're going to do it right now. I've got Mr. Elegant on Zoom and Mr. Alton Burns here, and I am hoping that they don't have heartburn with this process. If they have heartburn about this process, this is a speak now or forever hold your peace type of moment. That way we can, if we have to take a little testimony on Monday, we will. If it turns out that this is a nothing burger, I think is what was said earlier, then the plaintiffs can just rest and we can proceed directly into closing. Or actually, jury instructions and then closings. So that would be my suggestion. Let me hear from both sides as to whether that plan of action is acceptable.
I think that's the best we can do with a bad situation, Judge.
Agreed. Just agree.
Yes, agreed.
Agreed. The only thing I missed was, are we still meeting tomorrow before 10:30 to get you out of here by 10:30?
We are still meeting at 8:15 in the morning to go over jury instructions. We've got to get those knocked out. Now, I'm going to give the appellate lawyer, since I just asked the trial lawyers, I want to give the appellate lawyers an opportunity to weigh in on this time shifting of the directed verdict.
I don't see that as a problem.
Mr. Elegant.
Fine, Your Honor.
Plan, that's what we're doing.
Yes, Judge, I just want the record to be clear. The plaintiffs, other than this issue, are resting.
Well, I think we're going to call Ms. Kowalski for 2 nanoseconds for the homecoming pictures, and then we're sending the jury home.
Right, that's correct. I just want the plaintiffs to address that they don't have any other witnesses. They're resting other than this issue that was addressed by the court.
Plaintiffs, do you agree?
We agree. The fraud, billing fraud, is we don't have to worry about the damages.
I don't know what he's saying there.
Afterwards, if they say yes to everything else.
He's not calling more witnesses.
All I want to know is, are there any more witnesses, Judge? I don't know about the billing fraud comment.
No.
Okay.
Someone can let Dr. Corcoran know. I'm sorry, Mr. Altenburg.
On this billing fraud thing, they seem to think that they can have the jury instruction about having the jury figure out whether things are wrong on the insurance. Has that been resolved?
I think they want to bring in.
Can we do the jury?
Okay. It's a post-trial thing.
Yes.
Okay.
So we can let Dr. Corcoran know he can go home for today, sure, and that he is on hot standby for a Monday morning testimony.
Hot standby.
Hot standby.
I'll roll that.
First up.
Okay. 6 a.m.
I thought it was 2:30 a.m., Mr. Whitney. Okay. We're going to call the jury back in. We're going to put Maya Kowalski back on the stand. Again, this is just on the homecoming picture issue.
Yes. Maya, please explain what went on with the homecoming picture. I think or two.
And then
you can tell the jury to go or whatever.
Well, I'll let Mr. Shapiro have an opportunity to ask questions. Then I'll ask the jury, and then I'll send them home for the day.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell them on Monday that the plan is to finish the case and to get jury instructions and closing arguments.
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
Please bring in the jury. Members of the jury, want to confirm while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves, you did no investigation, and received no information. Is that all correct?
Correct.
And no one approached you about this case, is that correct?
Correct.
Did you see any media coverage about this case? Okay. Mr. Anderson, your next witness, please.
We're going to recall Maya Kowalski for just to trust this.
No, he's still under oath.
Ms. Kowalski, I just want to remind you that you are still under oath.
Yes.
Maya, correct me if I'm wrong, you were a little upset. I did not leave you with the opportunity to explain those pictures from homecoming.
Yes.
Please explain to the jury what went on.
So there's four things I would like to touch on. So the first thing is that I got my dress the day before homecoming because I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to go. That was dependent on my physical condition and my mental condition. Secondly, I cried for an hour to my dad before that picture was taken because of how bad my leg pain was. I only ended up going was because my boyfriend is the one who paid for the ticket, and I felt too bad to say no. Third thing is that homecoming starts at around 8:30 for my high school. I went there about 9. I got dropped off, and I left before 10. I wasn't able to stay the entire time. Also, I did not post that picture, meaning the defense went as far as to look up my friend's account to get that picture.
Thank you.
Maya, I apologize that you feel that way. I did not go into your account. Those pictures were emailed to me by several people who wanted the defense to know about them. But while we're on the subject, you did go out for Halloween with your friends as well, did you not?
I did.
Where did you go?
I went to a friend's house.
Did you go out in public?
Sorry?
Were you out, like, in public?
Yes.
Downtown Venice?
No.
How late were you out?
I think I went out at around, I want to say like 9, and I got back a couple hours later.
Around 11 p.m.?
Yeah.
Okay. Homecoming, when was homecoming?
It was, I think, about 2 weeks ago.
Okay. And when were you out for Halloween? Was that this past weekend?
Yes.
And there's been other times you've been able to get together with your friends during the trial as well, true?
True, but for limited amounts of time, and it's dependent on my condition.
One moment. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Anderson?
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Members of the jury, any questions? Okay, seeing none, Ms. Kowalski, you can go ahead and have a seat.
Thank you.
Can I see the transcript just a second, please? Expect to be receiving this case
Tuesday, sometime on Tuesday at the latest. I want to remind you that you cannot discuss this case amongst yourselves. You cannot take any investigation. You cannot receive any information. Now, I also told you at the beginning of this case, and I'm going to remind you now, that we're going to take your cell phones during your deliberations. And when I say your cell phones, that would mean if you have an Apple Watch or some sort of smartwatch that's connected anywhere to an electronic device, we're going to take it from you. So, if, you know, the court deputies are going to guard those, but if you would rather not bring them in the courthouse, that's fine. You're not going to deliberate until I tell you that you can start to deliberate. So we've gone this far throughout, and you keep answering the question that you have not discussed this case amongst yourselves. You cannot discuss this case until I say you may start. Okay, do we all understand that?
Yes.
Okay, we all understand that next week you're not going to have access to your cell phones or any sort of electronic devices when there is deliberations. You understand that?
Yes.
And I remember there was a request, and I think it was Wednesday. Was it Wednesday? Yeah, I think that was Wednesday. That we'll probably stop early on that date. We'll figure out the specific time. But other than that, when the jury is deliberating, you're pretty much going to be captaining the ship when it comes time to figuring out when you wanted to take breaks. Now, I'm not going to stay here until 1 a.m. in the morning like other judges have done with juries. I'm not going to do that. So we will let you go within reason to whatever you want to do, but no, it's not going to be 1 a.m. in the morning. But it probably will be past 5 o'clock that the juries, if you wish to keep deliberating into the evening, will do into some reasonable hour in the into the evening. Any procedural question, nothing about the case, but any procedural question about next week and what is expected of you? Yes, sir.
Lunch off campus or for lunch?
When you begin to deliberate, the county will so helpfully provide you filet mignon, pizza. pizza. Or some sort of sustenance that is county funded. So, I know you once you begin, you're in. You know, we're not going to break for lunch or dinner. The county will bring that in for you. Now, if you wish to bring, I know you have a fridge back there, if you wish to bring in your own food, I just don't have any cooking utensils to make you allow you to cook back there, but at least, you know, if you want to put something in the fridge, that's fine. Otherwise, we'll bring you something. And I promise you, it's not going to be filet mignon. It's not going to be some sort of gourmet fish dish or anything like that. It's
not going to be boring.
I wouldn't say that. Any other questions? I don't anticipate lunch on Monday. I think on lunch on Monday, you're going to be on your own. Lunch on Monday is not going to be during deliberation, so we will break for lunch on Monday. Yes, sir.
While we're back there deliberating, are we able to pass a note? Are counsel going to be out here if we have some sort of...
I will go over all of that in the logistics, but the reality is there will be an opportunity for the jury to send me notes. It's just when that happens, I then have to bring everybody and assemble everybody to answer them, and it usually takes a while because we're going to physically lock this room, and I'm not going to allow the parties to be in here. So they will be either outside, or more likely than not, they will probably be off campus. So it will probably take some time
whenever there's a question. But yes, you will have that ability. Anything else? Have a wonderful weekend. Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information. We'll see you on Monday. So everyone can shift, and if you want to leave, because we're going to do all the fun stuff like DV motions and jury instructions. But anything with like the trial lawyers present, do we need to? Oh, we need to talk about closing arguments. Yeah, why don't we take a break? Sorry, take a seat and let's deal with that. Let's talk about what the rules of the road will be for. Closing arguments. My recollection is 2 hours per side. Now, as far as demonstrative aids, you know, I had a requirement in the opening statement that demonstrative aids would have to be shown to the other side, and I think it was, what, 24 hours in advance or 36 hours? I don't recollect. So, one, do you want such a rule? And two, what time frame should we put on it for demonstrative aids? And demonstrative aids includes PowerPoint slide decks.
For me, yeah, I do think I want to use demonstrative aids. I think we're going to need that, and we're going to need to be able to use some summaries through that. I think as to anything, any of the summaries, we should exchange those, and it needs to be far enough advanced so they can check it. In other words, with medical bills or, ketamine infusions or whatever it is, we should have enough time to double check that the summary that's being put up on the board actually reflects what it is. So 24 hours should be good, I would think.
Yeah. Mr. Anderson and I, despite all appearances, we actually work quite well together. I guess this is partly to Mr. Anderson, but demonstrative aids, if we're showing something that's not a piece, something in evidence, I would agree those should be exchanged 24 hours in advance. But if it's just your slide deck showing medical records, I don't need to see them. Or photos that are in evidence, I don't need those.
We don't need to send each other's evidence. Right. We've seen quite enough of that.
Right.
I just don't want there to be any sort of complaint come Monday, oh, they didn't show this to me or not. So
I'll put on the record exactly what I consider to be a demonstrative and not a demonstrative. I will have a PowerPoint that I will be closing with. If I plan to show, you know, like I tried to earlier, you know, sort of a Facebook page of these people are all children, that's a demonstrative, I will turn that over to Mr. Anderson. If it's just simply, here's the medical record from all children's, and I'm going to show them the history and physical, and CRPS came from an outside physician, I wouldn't think that Mr. Anderson needs to see that in advance, and I do not need to see in advance if he just is going to show an exhibit in evidence and that he's calling something out. To me, it would just be if there's a demonstrative, because that, in theory, could draw an objection. Do you see it the same way?
I see it the same way. Okay.
So what I'm hearing, let me see if I can articulate again. Anything that's admitted into evidence that you do not need to turn over. Your personal slide deck that you're going to base your argument on, you do not need to turn over. If there is a traditional demonstrative aid exclusive of the slide deck, that would have to be turned over, and let's just call it noon on Sunday. Is that an appropriate time?
It's fine with me.
I think so.
I will err on the side of caution, Mr. Anderson, if it's something, because I don't want to draw an objection in the middle of my closing, and I think you feel the same.
As I decide on stuff, I'll shoot it over.
And I haven't forgotten Mr. Altenburn's request that he wants to check math. I haven't made a ruling on this. It's just Mr. Altenburn wanted to have some type of
preview of the damage calculation that the plaintiffs seek. Now, that seems to be a one-way street because I don't think the defense is going to be asking something similar, but I could be wrong.
If I can suggest, because I have no idea what it is other than listening to the testimony, I have a sense of the current methodology to do that. If he wants to share it with you first, and you tell him, decide whether I can do this on the fly and do the math, that's one thing.
I'm probably the wrong person because if you're asking me, can you do the math on the fly, I do math on the fly all the time. So I'm the wrong person on that issue. So
I'm not ignorant of math, but
I know that there was a specific request, so I'm addressing the specific request. So
I don't mind turning up objective. Let's put it this way. The economic damage is constituting bills and so forth. You still want to see that and double check bills. If I total up 12 bills, you want to see that?
No, I want to see the non-economics,
and you want to see it going forward and make sure that I'm using the tables that are in evidence and that I can count the number of days in the year, essentially. Hours in the day?
Hours in the day and the categories you're going to use?
Sure. But that's one of the things I said about summaries anyway, Judge. I thought that kind of...
Well, it's, you know, he's going to want, I think, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if you're going to go on a per diem type of argument, and let's say you're doing the number of good days at X number of dollars for a good day and Y number of dollars for a bad day, how many good days, how many bad days times how many years and all that, so that he can do the mathematical calculation to make sure we haven't rounded by a factor of $20 or $30 million. Am I generally correct?
That's right.
Except as the amount.
I'm expecting it to be per hour rather than per day.
I just work here, so.
Yes, although, you know, the jury will be solving for X, which is the rate, whatever it ends up being by the day or hour.
So when is it fair for you to let the defense know your mathematical calculations of what you're going to be asking this jury for?
I don't think that it will take too long to check those. I'd like to have as long as I can. My initial impression would be noon Sunday, but I think I want a little more time on that because that's obviously a very important decision. We're coming in Monday for... Are we putting it... Well, depends on the results of over the weekend, right?
Let me ask you this. At some point, I will be instructing the jury prior to closing arguments. So would it be fair if by the time that I start instructing the jury, if the mathematical calculations be disclosed?
Yes, sir. That'd be fine.
Mr. Altenburn, does the calculator work that fast?
I'm sure someone's will.
Okay. Any other ground rules for closing arguments that we need to address?
I was almost not kidding when I said I feel like I should submit it to the court beforehand just to make sure we don't step over the line with one to the other, but I don't know that's fair to the court. I guess not.
Mr. Hunter.
Just an inquiry, Judge. Would the court mind, I believe Mr. Shapiro is probably going to do our closing argument. Do you mind if I handle the objections?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be doing that, and if Mr. Whitney can...
We'll let Mr. Whitney or Ms. Lawrence handle the objections.
Probably Ms. Lawrence.
Okay. Anything else about what we need the trial teams for before we take a break and then shift gears to directed verdict motions and jury instructions?
Just a question for Your Honor.
Yes.
A matter of timing. We intend to make a motion with reference to one of the jurors. When would you like to hear that?
Well, when's the motion going to be ready?
I'm going to can make it any time. It's going to overturn this motion.
I assumed it was going to come in writing. If you're going to seek to disqualify one or more jurors, I really would like that in writing. I'd like to have the ability to review whatever you submit with it and give the defense an opportunity. It might also require a discussion with a juror. So,
when would you like it, Jeff?
If you were to file it by 5 o'clock on Thursday, that's tomorrow, and then a written response by 5 o'clock on Friday.
That's fine.
Well, can we say 4 o'clock?
Sure.
When it gets filed, immediately send it to both my judicial assistant as well as the weekend email address. So both.
Yes, sir.
So 4 o'clock Thursday, 4 o'clock Friday.
I really can't believe we would be trying to invade the province of the jury at this point, but maybe they've got law.
I'm just setting up the process by which we'll have a discussion about it.
Yes, sir.
And that also means we're going to come in earlier on Monday.
Understood. Judge, exhibits. I'm happy to wait to deal with this Thursday morning. The clerks are happy to do that. I know they had questions about one of the exhibits, so I don't know if they need that answer today about the audio and the joint. So,
what's the issue? What exhibit are we talking about?
Okay, so there's several issues that we're going to deal with together about redactions and things, and we're going to get that together and give them to them in the morning. But that on the joint exhibits, there was 1076 and 1077. I think it's clear that those were originally admitted. Those were the audios with Dr. Patrick, and then the court said back. They were admitted, and then they were, whatever the word is.
Retracted.
Retracted, thank you. There is another audio, 1078. I think the clerks were unclear as to whether or not.
Yes, at that time, it was only the 1076 and the 1077, but not the 1078.
No.
And we're happy.
Let's deal with one at a time, because it's cleaner for an appellate record.
There's no dispute that 1076 and 1077 was retracted.
Does the plaintiff agree that I hold those two out of evidence?
To remind the plaintiffs, those were the audios of Ms. Dr. Kirkpatrick.
I can't. Yes, I recall retracting two audio files. I'll trust that those are the correct ones.
Yeah, I think you can trust the court and county. And then the third one is 1078, which was put in evidence but never utilized. And it was just it's an audio of Beata and Kathy on November 3rd, the first phone call about the transfer to Nemours, where Beata tells her, I have to talk to my lawyer, and I'll call you back.
Is this for...
It's submitted at this point. So, I mean, we can put this back.
Which one, I'm sorry?
It's the November 3rd audio between Kathy and Beata about the Nemours transfer in November.
I don't care.
Either way, we don't care either way. It's admitted, of course, I think had a good
question. Well, at that time, those three, I believe, were not stated that they were not going to go back to the jury. But only two were retracted, not all three of them.
Correct.
Well, if you want to take the third one out, that's fine. There's a medical record that basically says the same thing.
So yeah, we're happy to. It's a joint exhibit, so I don't have control over it. We're happy to just retract it.
We'd like to leave it.
If I said we wanted it in, we should say you retracted.
Maybe, but that's what I wanted.
We don't care either way, Judge. We just want to clarify.
Well, it's in. Did I rule that it's coming out?
No, it wasn't discussed at all.
Well, if I rule that it's in, I'm assuming that there was consent for that recording.
That's the one where she told her she was recording. Okay.
That's good.
And it's in.
Just to clarify, we were told not to rip off three of them.
Not to go back to the jury.
Can we
Can someone play whatever exhibit we're talking about?
1078.
1078, please.
Can I help you?
Hi, Maya's mom. This is Kathy Beattie with All Children's Hospital. I'm a social worker. I'm here for Maya.
Okay. How can I help you, Kathy?
We have the, We have the acceptance from Nemours, and we are getting ready to transfer her to Nemours, but we need your consent to do so.
We have a meeting today in regards to Maya's future plans. So we'll have a meeting today in regards to that at, I believe, at 3 or 3:30. And we're meeting with our attorneys today regarding that issue.
Okay.
So
are you giving us consent or are you declining consent?
I'm not doing either till I speak with the attorney and the coalition. We have two meetings today.
Okay. Well, but if you're not giving, in our viewpoint, that's declining.
Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. And just so you are aware, I am recording this phone call right now for your information. I am not declining. I am holding it off because we have a meeting today that was requested by the Children's Coalition. We have a meeting at 3:30, so we're going to attend this meeting first, and we also have a meeting with the attorneys. So till that takes place, then I can make the correct decision. Okay, Kathy?
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to give you my number.
Okay, let me write it down. Hold on, please.
Stop it.
We want the number up.
Is the number in evidence?
No.
So we bleeped out the number?
No, I don't know that we did. We'd have to bleep it out.
Can we cut it from that point forward, Clay?
I'd have to go in and edit it out.
Yeah, we're going to have to go in and edit it. Obviously.
Okay, what is substantively, what else is on that call?
I think that's about the end of it. She says she has to call.
How much longer?
Call her back. And
another minute?
Another minute.
Maybe we could listen to it in private between us and then decide what to do with it.
That's it. That's pretty much it, Judge. She's going to call her back. She has to speak to her lawyers. It's at 3 o'clock.
Well, it sounds to me like if it's in evidence and...
We may need to cut a little bit.
I mean, I don't want someone's telephone number being in evidence, but other than that, you know, unless there's another redaction issue, it's staying in.
That's fine.
That's fine, Judge. I just wanted to bring it to question.
What's the number?
1078. Okay. As far as I know, that's the only issue we needed your assistance on. The rest, we just need to make sure we have given them the correct redacted documents.
I have one issue on exhibits. 2060 is the mortality tables. We discussed this at one point. I believe it was only marked for identification. So we'd like to make sure that those are admitted.
Social Security.
I think that was because it was 60 pages long or something, and you were going to figure out which pages you wanted in.
What I would suggest on the plaintiff's exhibits is you go through your list, talk with the clerks either tonight or tomorrow, and if we've got to put any more plaintiffs in, we do it first thing on Monday.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not objecting. I'm just saying you need just those sheets.
Thank you.
And there's one that council wanted to redact, and I don't know if you had a chance to look at that.
I have not, but... Monday morning or so, tomorrow I'll answer.
Yeah, if you get that to me, then we can see if we agree. All right. I think that's it on exhibits, Judge, other than we need to just meet in the morning with and make sure we're all perfect. Okay.
Anything else from the trial teams before we take a break to reset for DV motions and jury instructions?
Not from us.
No, not from the defense. Okay.
So for everyone's planning purposes, we will start tomorrow morning at 8:15, and we'll start at 8:15 on Monday morning as well. Okay. So let's take 5 minutes, and we'll reset for DV motions and jury instructions.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including Live Dealer, Blackjack, and Craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.